Discipline. Let's talk about discipline a little bit. First, I want you to understand the word from the Greek as it is used in the New Testament as well as in the Septuagint. The word most commonly used for discipline is spelled P-A-I-D-E-U-O, pronounced P-A-I-D-E-U-O. Now, there's a very important thing about this, and the reason not too often do I do this, that I wanted you to be familiar with that, because its prime root is peish, peis, which means child. So, in ancient Greek literature, and even further into the New Testament, it's home education. That's what the word means. Home education. You see, at the time of, let's say, Bible days, there was no such thing necessarily as schools or a public school system, that sort of thing. So, naturally, all disciplining, the word disciple comes from discipline. Disciple means student, all right? So, you're talking about education when you mention the word discipline. Even in our English language, the word discipline means to discipline oneself in an art. That means to learn the value of that art. Let's say like music. You don't come along with a nice song like this and hit a flat right in the middle of it. Or do you? I don't know. You know, whatever. All right. In other words, there are rules that you go by that cause harmony, or it can just bounce off the wall, okay? In a dull thud is what I mean. Well, it's the same way as if you were an artist. There are certain disciplines in that. And we're all familiar with that, but I would rather stick to the fact that discipline, as it is used in the Septuagint and in the New Testament, or even the Hebrew as far as that's concerned, means to home educate, and basically it comes from this fact that your Heavenly Father is your Father, and the reason that the prime means child, you're His child. So I don't care what your age is. As the Father disciplines you, it's still home education. Because He's your Father, and I hope your body is a home for Him. If it isn't, you have problems. That's to say that He mansions with you and within you. As I think it was the last time we had a Sunday meeting, I taught on the subject mani, which is to say mansion. That He mansions, you can have your mansion today. He is always the father of the house, or He'd better be, or I can guarantee you, you've got trouble. If He isn't your father and you're outside of Him, you've slipped up somewhere along the way. Before we go to the Scriptures, I want to brush on discipline in the family. And this is not the main thing, but it's one of the higher priorities of discipline, is finances. One of the things that can cause problems in a relationship quicker than most anything else is finances. If they get on the rocks, boy, other things can get on the rocks in a hurry. I mean, that's just nature. So you must discipline yourself to understand your Father's word that says stay out of usury. If you get involved in usury, which is interest rates, you're going to go down. Now, there is nothing wrong for an intelligent, well-disciplined person to, in this generation, to go into usury to the point that you buy a home, or in your business, a good businessman, there's nothing wrong with borrowing money to make money, all right? But to borrow money for that is strictly for pleasure, or that can be avoided, is nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. In other words, you should take your discipline, and all of you have heard me teach this at one time or the other. Let's say the old washing machine I mean, wire that rascal up and start immediately paying payments to yourself. Discipline yourself in that. Because then, with cash, you can go buy that washing machine for, say, $300, or you can go to a finance company or a bank and you can pay $500 for it. The choice is yours. Which would you rather pay, three or five? You can absolutely put yourself in bondage through credit. And many families do not discipline themselves in this, and it's one of the most important disciplines in marriage. It should be, because it'll get you in more trouble than anything else. Cause other troubles. Allow Satan to speak in your ear. That sort of thing. But even that is not the most important discipline. If your family can be on the rocks financially, but if you have the higher discipline, which is to say the teachings of your father, you're going to make it. If you have the discipline taught by Jesus Christ, you're going to pull through it, because that is the highest discipline of all. By highest, I mean it is most necessary. There is nothing more understanding than a good Christian mate that can understand when Satan has caused someone to trip, to fall, whatever the case may be. But that in his discipline, we're able to pick ourselves up. It is his discipline to the tribes as they migrated all over the nations, migrated the 10 to the north, the 2 that remained. Discipline throughout, still found in his word. And in his word only will you find that discipline. Discipline itself, then, can mislead you if you're not careful. I'm going to show you a case or two in the scripture as we progress into the scripture subject on this, where discipline did mislead someone. In other words, compare disciplines of the world. The way the world does business and the way a Christian does business with each other, there should be a difference. And we find that discipline in the Word of God. Okay, open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms 94. Psalms 94. I'll lay a little groundwork for you. The psalmist is asking our Father, why does it seem like that the wicked always succeed, and so forth? And he carries this argument forth. Don't you see them? Don't you hear them? And then the question is put forth, if he formed the ear, do you think he can't hear himself? Or if he formed the eye, do you think God cannot see for himself? Of course he can. Okay, we're going to pick it up in Psalms 94, verse 10. He that chasteneth, now there's a word discipline in the Hebrew. That is discipline. He that disciplines the heathen, shall not he correct? You bet he's going to correct. And you can even use force or the threat of force to bring forth discipline. Sometimes it's called corporal punishment in certain military branches, where if one messes up, all pay. And that way, when all get to that one, you can bet he'll never forget it. Called corporal discipline. All right. He that disciplines the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? Of course he knows. All knowledge comes from your Father. And if you want to discipline yourself in His Word. You'll always have the wisest counsel that is available for man. Verse 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. That word vanity in the Hebrew means air, empty, nothingness. And when you try to figure something out on your own without going into your Father's Word to have the base groundwork, do you know where you're going to fly to? In the air. It's going to amount to what? Air. Have you ever tried to survive on... Although air is very necessary to the system, It doesn't do the tummy that much good, nor does it your brain, when you try to lay aside knowledge to pull you out of a tight place or a hard time. But God's knowledge will do that for you. If you were to practice all the disciplines put forth by our Father, such as base one, health laws, how to eat, agriculture laws, how to grow that is natural and that He created, and discipline yourselves in that, and so forth, you would be almost at a state of perfection as far as your daily life is concerned. There is nothing that is not written in our Father's Word whereby His counsel will tell you best why. He just told you He's the one that created it. And this is the set of instructions that you go by. And then you've always got the yo-yo, though, that will order some complicated thing and pull it out of the box and start putting it together without reading the instructions. And the idiot's got to go all the way through it and then find this one little piece left over and have to start all over. I've done it lots of times. I'm the idiot that has done that a time or two, all right? It's always better to read the instructions, and that's your Father's instructions. You get some of these religionists that I've studied and taught in the languages for 40 years, and you get some yo-yo that comes along. A little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. This is a wealth of knowledge, and none of us will ever become totally disciplined within it. But don't worry, when your Father wants your attention, do you know what discipline is? He'll crack your knuckles. About the time that your whole life falls apart, He says, "Honey, I wanted you to make that other turn back there. Go back and do it," you see. Father has a way of getting your attention. All right, verse 12. "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law," out of the Word, the Torah. It's important that He can teach you through the Holy Spirit and give you unction whereby the verses come to life from the very pages, whereby you have a solid foundation in your life. Verse 13, "that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked." In other words, until Michael and the archangels dig the abyss to place Satan in, he's running around on the prowl. And God is not going to keep him away from you unless you ask Him to or exercise the authority. Always remember, Job is the example on this. God did not stand between Job and the devil. He let the devil just all but kill him. And poor old Job, woe is me, poor baby. "I know this, God, I've never sinned." But he never, as God began to speak to him in the 38th chapter, when He said, "Get up off the ground, start acting like a man of God, and close your mouth and listen, and stop listening to these people that claim they know something about the Word and know absolutely nothing. That'll get you in trouble quicker than anything." Is listening to a false teacher, not necessarily a false teacher, a misinformed teacher. It's called babblings. Beware of one-verse Charlies that claim to be Bible teachers. Now, if they want to claim to be an evangelist and they're a one-verse Charlie, hey, all right, I can go along with that. But if somebody claims to be a Bible teacher and they're a one-verse Charlie, they're a liar. I don't care who it is. That's just throwing out their blanket. You can't teach the Bible without teaching the Word of God. That's impossible. It just won't fly otherwise. And most people are wise enough to understand that. So, until the pit is dug, the adversary is going to be on the loose, but God will chasten you. That means discipline you, whereby you can get him off your back. You can put him on the road. You can put those things away from you. When a demonic influence approaches your home, you had better be disciplined enough in the Word to know you have the power and authority that you don't have to put up with it. Job would not have had to either. But Job didn't have the New Testament to read either. You do. All right? Now, so we come then to which verse? Okay, 14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. God will not forsake his chosen ones, nor his inheritance. Every promise he has made in this word, the reason it's important you discipline yourself in it, it's a fact. It's reality. You can claim it. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Follow what? God's word. For God is righteousness. Who will raise up for me against the evildoers? Question. Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? His elect are going to. You will. Anytime someone comes up with a demonic thought or anything else and it's in your presence, it's an abomination to you. And you're going to do something about it. Unless the Lord, this is the answer, he is the one that gives you the power and the authority, therefore, thus, it's he that does it. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. Do you know what that means in the Hebrew? In a deep grave, my soul would have almost dwelt, my home would have been a grave. That's death. But the Lord gives life. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. When I said my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. And he'll do it. He knows when you slip. And he will help you. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. What about your soul? What shape is it in? Do you commune with the Father? Do you meditate? You should. Seek counsel from the wisest of all, our Father. Shall the throne of iniquity... Now, what is that? Who sits on the throne of iniquity? Satan does, of course. Have fellowship with thee. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? I would suggest that you listen to that very carefully and absorb it. Satan is not above using the law, God's own word, to form a trap for you. And boy, do I witness that in these end times with certain of these nitwit groups that are not familiar with the Word of God, that have allowed Satan to use law to entrap them. Satan, what example, I'll give you some documentation on that. When Satan appeared before Christ to tempt him, what did he tempt him with? Scripture. He quoted Deuteronomy 6. Other scriptures from the Bible, there's just one problem. He twisted them a little bit. If you were not disciplined in God's Word, you wouldn't know which way he had twisted them. And he'll do it to you today. If only you give him the opportunity, if you do not discipline yourself in your study of our Father's Word. His method of operation is basically to use scriptures and work among and out of pulpits. That's one of his best little things that he has going for him. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. There was only one innocent blood. I hope I don't have to tell a soul in here what the only innocent blood was that's ever been shed, because all of us are sinners and Christ was perfect. They condemn the innocent blood. Why? They call him, quite frankly, illegitimate, and many other things. But it is that washes you. But the Lord is my defense. He is my God, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. How disciplined are you in what you read? There are people that would have you believe we're going to cut them off. We're going to defeat them. We're going to do great things. That isn't what the Bible says. God's going to. In Ezekiel 38, when the northern army comes against this United States of America, there will not be one shot fired by our troops or any individual. God Himself stops the approach because He wants the heathen to know that He is God. And so it is. So discipline yourself in absorbing even what you read. Now, it is true. The false Messiah is going to appear on this earth before very long. And most people that are not trained and disciplined in the dual tribulations, that is to say the appearance of the wicked one first, they're going to worship Him thinking it is Jesus. Christ didn't say, maybe the Antichrist is going to appear on this earth. In Mark 13 and in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, He said, He shall. And if they tell you He's in the desert, don't you go. He didn't say, maybe. He said, He shall appear before my tribulation, the great tribulation, before my advent. So you see, discipline, especially in this generation, is a very important thing. Who can God call upon to help in this end generation? Only one group of people. And that is to say, those that have disciplined themselves in His Word. To discipline means to correct yourself, to correct your thinking, to correct your method of life. And there's none of us perfect. We all fall short. We all mess up. But that's where discipline works the best. That's what it's for. And if you don't discipline yourself, I can guarantee you something. Sit around, wait around. God's going to do it for you. He will discipline you. And He is very apt at it. Okay, a discipline from God's Word. I just forementioned that Satan tempted Christ with Scripture. I want to show you the gentleman that wrote most of the New Testament. I speak of Paul. Was disciplined in the Word to a point that it's awesome. It's amazing. Paul was so zealous for the Word of God that he helped bring Christians to their deaths. That's the kind of man he was. Until he was disciplined by the Father. So you see, you can be led astray by not disciplining yourself in all of the Word. All right, let's turn, if we may, to the book of Acts. Let's go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 22. This will be Paul speaking. As you're turning there, I want you to remember that in Acts chapter 7, Stephen, talking about Moses, said that he was learned in all, and that word learned is discipline in the Greek. Moses was learned in all the ways of the Egyptians. Well, it didn't hurt Moses to be trained in all the ways of the Egyptians. Pharaoh had hand-schooled him in his highest and best schools. He was able to utilize that to his benefit. So all knowledge is necessary or helpful, but never overlook the number one knowledge. Okay, Acts chapter 22, an example of how discipline, if not pointed in the right direction, can get you in trouble. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And this was Paul. He was being captured. And he began to speak in the Hebrew tongue. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew. That's Yehudas of the tribe of Judah. Born of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was probably one of the greatest of all Hebrew scholars. I mean, he knew the law inside and out. He knew the Word of God. I have little doubt in my mind that he could probably quote it from heart. And Paul had studied under him for quite some time, until Paul also knew the Word of God in depth, only to be familiar with the Old Testament the way Paul was. But what did that do to him? Absorbing the good Word of God. What did it do for him? That's what Paul is going to tell you. Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous. That word zealous means, I was ready to go, gung-ho for the faith toward God, as ye all are this day. In other words, I wanted to do what God, if God told me to do something, I did it. And I really believe that. Paul never did anything halfway. All right. After he was converted, he was still the same way. And I persecuted this way unto the death. What way? The Christians. I persecuted them unto the death. But he's full of the Word. Blinded and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness. In other words, these high priests right over here in the Sanhedrin can bear witness to this because they know me well. And all the estate of the elders, for whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. In other words, the elders in this city can back me up on this, because it was they that gave me the authority to go there and do this. Important. Now remember, you all are familiar with the story, but the point is, I want you to realize that Paul was disciplined in the Word of God. He knew it. But you must always allow the Holy Spirit to counsel you, to bring you up to date. Paul was a chosen vessel. Paul was chosen before the foundations of this earth. It was not Paul's free will to go forward at an altar call at some church, as you're about to find out. This is what happened to him in the contrary. Verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. This is God's way of getting your attention. And if you're one of His election, He'll get your attention the hard way sometimes. And I fell upon the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? See, any time Saul touched, and this would be Paul, changed to Paul later, a Christian, Christ is in them. You touch him. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Didn't hear that. It was a divine intervention in the life of Paul. As we come near, in this generation, there will be more divine interventions than ever before, or at least in several generations past. 10. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? I mean, he was ready. He knew that this was divine. He knew it was of the Father. And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. In other words, you're going to be disciplined. Now, bear in mind, you see, I'm using these scriptures for a very special point. Always study God's Word. Because all the study that he had done in the Word, as soon as divine intervention transpired, it cleared up for him. It was not wasted time studying the scriptures. It was not wasted time. It made it quite the contrary. A lot easier. Quite the contrary. A lot easier for Paul to be ready to go back to the field, because as soon as he recognized Yeshua, Jesus, by knowing the law, it stated, "There shall a virgin conceive in the city of Bethlehem, and give birth to a child, and you shall call him Emmanuel," which in the Hebrew tongue means God with you. So it never hurts to study the Scripture, but always remember this one thing. Allow the Holy Spirit to discipline you and to continue that study and to be open-minded in the way. Because Paul himself, now, with that background, was ready to become a servant of the living God. Okay, let's continue on just a little further here. Verse 11, "And when I could not see for the glory of the light," let's see, being led by the hand, in other words, he was blinded, verse 11, "of them that were with me, I came into Damascus, and one Ananias," in the Hebrew, "whom Yahweh has graciously given, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him." You know, there are many blind today because they do not have the truth. So there are many ways to receive your sight. And it is not necessarily from blindness, but to see the way that Christ has set forth. And he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee." There was no volunteering about it. God chose Paul, "that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Yes, Paul was very disciplined in the Scripture. He knew them backward and forward. There's just one problem. He missed one of the turns in the road. It's easy to do if you don't study your Father's Word with an open mind and never listen to this man or any other man and take it as gospel without checking them out in the Word of God, or you will be misled. Because there will be no man standing before or between you and God on Judgment Day. You're going to answer for yourself. And that's as it is. We're going to one more place. We're going to one of the doctrinal books to close this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up in the 15th verse here. Spend just a little bit of time here. Timothy, you know, himself was a student of Paul. In other words, he was disciplined by Paul. And it reads here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly," I repeat, "rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, you will cross many people, come across many people that claim to be students of God's Word. And along will come the book of James, which differs a little bit with some of the other doctrinal books. How do you rightly divide? To rightly divide is to know what time area it's speaking of. To rightly divide is first to know who it's talking to, because not every book is written to one specific group of people. What was the book of James? Let's just rightly divide the book of James that clears all the smoke. It states very clearly to the tribes, addressed to, from James to the tribes scattered abroad. That puts a whole different light on the book of James. And if you don't learn to rightly divide the word, all you're doing is blowing air. Because you don't know. In other words, if you were to turn to the book of Job and read any of the chapters between, say, 38 and long about chapter 5 or 6, any through there and start quoting that as scriptural, the Word of God, it is scriptural. Do you know what God said about those people that gave all that big, high-powered advice? He said, they don't know from come sick'em. All right? Now, you know God has, He understands every colloquial thought, all right? He said, He called them dumb ears, stupid people. And if you're not careful, you can listen to somebody that can throw all kinds of biblical advice at you, and they don't know what they're talking about. As a matter of fact, that is the point of the whole book of Job, is to take you from verse, about, let's say, 4, and see how long you can be patient listening to people blow smoke. Because that's exactly what it is. And then again, as I had forementioned in the 38th chapter, God said, get up from there. Why do you waste your time listening to stupid people? Why don't you listen to me? You see. Okay, so learn to rightly divide the Word. Always make it a point in your study to know who God is speaking to, and all scriptures have a dual interpretation, most likely, in most places. But know the time frame. Is it prophecy? Or is it history? Or is it both? That's the only way you can understand our Father's Word. Okay, that's what's meant by that verse. 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And it would seem that time brings on more babblings also. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. This word canker is kind of like gangrene. If you get a little bit of leaven in your truth, or you get just a little bit off track as you go along, that little falsehood in your study can throw you a long way off. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. That's been from the time that Christ walked the earth. Paul walked the earth. Christ walked the earth. There's always somebody saying, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. It's already happened. How do you correct that? Rightly dividing the Word of God through the book of Revelation, Daniel, and so forth. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What's that? Those babblings forementioned? Get out of it. Come out of Babylon. And discipline yourself in the Word of God. In other words, God's Word, what it's saying here, it's got its own seal. It can stand alone. You never have to apologize for it. And if you feel you do, you just don't understand it. You have not come to the clear meaning. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor, and some to dishonor. In other words, well, let's go one more verse. If a man therefore purge himself from these what? These persons, babblers, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and beat for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If you're not disciplined in the Word of God, He can't use you. Sorry, friend. If you can only listen to babblings or deal in babblings, I'm sorry, if God said, do it for me, you would have to say, what? What do you mean? Where? Or, by the tone that some one-verse Charlies would give you, you would think they were experts on the entire Word of God, having all Hebrew, Greek, and Chaldee memorized and were in a high scholarly position. Yet, and perhaps they've studied 6 months. That's not to say the Holy Spirit can't touch somebody and so forth. But I'm just saying, would you want someone that only been in medical school 6 months doing brain surgery on you? Or let's better yet, let's say removing your appendix. You know, no, you're going to pick the head of experience that you can find. He that is best equipped and with the best experience. Our Father is the most experienced in discipline. My advice to you is to pray for discipline when you need it. He'll be gentle with you then. Pray for discipline. Flee also youthful lust, wayward impulses, you might say. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Do you know what that really says in the Greek? Don't debate over nothing. That is the biggest waste of time. Do you know what it happens in your own families? You can get up, it can be a beautiful day, everything is just going wonderful, and someone can say, well, I wonder why we didn't do this, that, or the other day, and really deep down I know it's your fault we didn't. I mean, this is water under the bridge. It's long gone, and you've both already worked it out, so what earthly good will it do to bring it back up and debate it? That's like children. Meanwhile, we could say on discipline itself, let's debate for the sake of discipline itself. You know, and you could turn it into babblings if you wanted to. It's real easy to get yourself sidetracked. Anytime that you are studying the Word and the ultimate theme is not to have the question answered, what does God wish me to do? What does God wish me to get from this? How does this affect me? What's in this for me? That's what makes the Word of God interesting to people. I mean, fess up. You study God's Word because you want to know what's in it for you and where you are in it. That's what makes it interesting. Okay, verse 23. Oh, we got that. Okay, avoid these. 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. That word in the Greek means a servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome. Have you ever known somebody that just had that old spirit of quarrelsome? Seemed like they would want, any thought, they would want to quarrel about it. I don't know why or for what reason. But you cannot be a servant of God and be quarrelsome. You're not going to communicate with people because one of the greatest blocks against communication is to be quarrelsome. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Now sharpen up for me. You recognize that word, teach. Patient. In other words, your duty as a teacher is to communicate with other people, not to show them how much you know or what a great person you are. To teach people, you must communicate on their level. I don't care how complicated the Word of God, you must simplify it whereby the bridge is met and the true, pure thought flows from your mind to theirs. Or you're kidding yourself. Well, I just wanted them to know how much I knew. Well, you blew it. They're gone. And there you stand with no fruit. Beloved, what I'm saying is discipline yourself to know this. If you're planting seeds, you already know. Your mission is to help that person. If there was any discipline you must learn, it is that you must. In other words, if I'm going to talk to a little bitty child, I'm not going to stand up here, child, you know, like, I'm going to go down like this, and I'm going to say, hi, darling, come in and talk to me a minute, all right? You've got to get on that level, or your communication is lost. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Be patient. The reason we came here is the next verse. Sharpen up for me. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Do you know what that word instruction is? You've got it. Discipline. Discipline. In meekness, discipline those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure. And there are people that oppose themselves. We're going to stop there, with the exception of one more verse. It's in the letters to the churches. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 19. And listen carefully. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Do you know what that word chasten is? You got it. Discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, did it say there that God was going to discipline every person in the world? No, it didn't say that. It didn't say that at all. God said, or through Christ, said, I discipline those I love. And it is His will that they come to repentance. It is His desire. So that's why I said earlier, pray for discipline. Pray that God will discipline you. That you become knowledgeable in His Word. That you can teach patiently without hate. Anyone that teaches hate and Christ's love out of the same mouth. In other words, we could back up a few verses from where we are in this 3 to... We could go back to chapter 3, verse 10, and we could read those wonderful verses. How that those of the synagogue of Satan would come before... You have a key to David. You can unlock doors. Nobody can close it. And he said, I will cause those that are of the synagogue of Satan, which means the sons of Cain, to come and worship at your feet. He didn't tell you to kick them in the teeth. He didn't tell you to start cutting tares. He said, I can handle it. So you see, you must discipline yourself to listen to God's Word. And that way God can use you as a communicator. Otherwise, you're peddling air. And God will say, sorry, I can't use you. So discipline yourself in His Word, in His thought, in His love. Discipline yourself whereby you're a good neighbor. For He used some of the simplest terms. If I do unto my neighbor as I would have him do unto me, I've done all these things. It's true. Always be fair and just. Get along with your neighbor if it is possible. Do not take discipline and accept it as something that causes you to lay down for other people's walking mat. If you absorb that from this, you're sadly mistaken. Because God expects Christians to stand up and act like men and women of God. And men and women of God do not let people walk upon them. They're too busy doing our Father's work. But to be patient and to show love, discipline probably is the root of love. For if, when God disciplines you, it hurts Him. He doesn't get a big kick out of it. Example, if you've got a little one and that little one has had the awfulest time learning how to react under a certain condition and you've spanked it a time. You've tried everything. But you've got to get that child to communicate with you and see a certain thing. And you're going to pick it up and never correct a child when you're angry and never strike a child in the face. That's not what God created the face for. All right? Correct the child where you're supposed to correct the child if it becomes necessary. I wonder how many of you, if you're really a true mother and father, have ever enjoyed spanking one of your little ones. I don't think so. I think it hurts you more than it hurts them. And so does it your father when he has to correct you. To say, little one, listen to me. I don't want to have to do this to you, but you're not paying attention. And there it goes. So, you only correct a child because you love it. God only corrects you, chastens you, because He loves you. He can use you. And that's why He only corrects those He does love, because it hurts. And He has emotions, as we have emotions. So, as we traverse into the wealth of knowledge that comes forth from our Father's Word, always remember that one thing, discipline. And use discipline even in studying and teaching. Always rightly divide. Example, again, remember. Let's say that you memorize the song of Moses from beginning to end. Don't intimidate some poor soul with that, all right? It's a beautiful thing. Encourage them to. But don't use your knowledge to ever intimidate or to belittle, but get on their level and communicate. That's a discipline that is very difficult for people that possess the knowledge, because it just blossoms out and you just want to spill it everywhere. Just tell the world. Use discipline. Okay, let's approach His throne. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and Father, we ask that You do discipline us, Father, in Thy will and in Thy way. We have come to that repentance, Father, whereby we're stamped perfect in that time that we ask Thy forgiveness, Father. Father, help us to be a blessing to others. Father, we thank You for this platform that You have given us, and we thank You for the thousands that Your Word is helping. A poor, lost, starving, confused world, that Thy Word may cleanse. We ask it and thank You for the privilege of being a servant. In Yeshua Jesus' precious name, amen.